Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hello, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, however, whatever time it is that you're listening to this. This is Becky Brown sitting in for Steve, and I'm joined by Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Alice Benton. Hi, guys.
Hi, Becky. Hi, Alice.
It's been a while since we had a ladies' day.
I know.
Listen, all the wisdom is in the house today. Not that the guys don't have it, but, you know, here we are. And I'm so glad that you all are listening, and we want you to call. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or for any help, but call us at 1-800-229-3000, and we're going to be answering your calls for a couple hours. And I know, because I talk to a lot of our listeners, that so many of you are struggling with some stuff, and we could probably help you. So just give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. And you might be thinking, well, it's not that big of a deal, or maybe it's too big of a deal. Take the risk. Give us a call. And Jill and Alice and I will do our very best
to help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that we're always grateful for is our Club New Life family. And we have a video library for our Club New Life family. And I know that, Alice, you just recently did a new video, and the title is Help, My Parent Moved In With Me. And I think it's happening mm-hmm. across the country. But tell us a little bit more about that.
The video is a compilation of both my own personal experience, having lived with both of my own parents, my mother-in-law, but also an experience of my clients and other folks that I have worked with. And two key pieces I want to share with you that we can do to be able to love our aging parent well and keep our sanity, because it's tough and we rub each other wrong. We irritate each other. I'm an irritating person to live with. But it's easy to get stuck on what they're doing wrong and mm-hmm. what they do that upsets me. So a key principle is getting the beam out of our own eye before we try to remove that splinter in their eye, and focusing on what can I do to be easier to live with. That modeling brings grace into the home and can have such a softening effect on our parents as they see us making that effort. The other one is confessing our struggles to people we can trust. And those struggles can get very dark in our mind. When we're caring for an aging parent, I think that there is a temptation to want them to die sooner. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. of the struggles that we're all going through. So if they get an illness, if they fall, if they have to go into the hospital, both I and my own clients, we have talked about experiencing this, where we have the temptation of a death wish mm-hmm. for our aging mm-hmm. parent. And what an embarrassing, shocking thing. So who
hard
would
to
talk
admit
about that
to
exactly
people?
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So when it started to happen to me, this was with my poor father, I was so surprised. I was very embarrassed. And I went to my small group and I told them about it, frightened of how they would think about me. Eventually, I took it to my dad. Aww. And I asked for his forgiveness. He revealed he'd had the same thoughts about his own parents. Mm. Grace flooded those relationships. Mm-hmm. It brought more peace to me. I won't say the temptation has never returned, so I've got to keep in confession of that thought. Mm-hmm. But I received so much support when I mm-hmm. admitted it, and I was better able to keep loving my dad through that situation.
Because it's just plain hard, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's plain hard, and it stirs up childhood issues and wishes that we have for our relationship with our parent.
Yes.
And then a lack of understanding of the stage of life that they're in, because we've
right.
never been there.
Yes.
Right.
Right?
Right. And, you know, and I was just talking to you both about this, because my own parents, who are 88 and 87, you know, it's how do we honor their wishes while we get a little anxious about the choices that they make, knowing that we don't have control, but we want to come alongside, be open, just like you just said, Alice, which was so beautiful. We want to come alongside you, so give us a call at 1-800-229-3000. We're going to answer your calls and your questions.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so glad you're here. You're with Becky Brown, Dr. Alice Benton, and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And we were continuing that conversation because it's such a big deal. There are so many people that are dealing with that sandwich generation, you know, where it's you've got parents that you're dealing with, you might be raising kids, and all of the stressors that go with it. And, you know, that grace piece that you're talking about, Alice, is the key. You know, we're all going to get there if we're so blessed.
Well, and let's just be real and know that the way we treat our parents is likely the way our children will treat us.
Right.
So we want to spread as much grace around as possible.
Exactly. Well, and we're going to take a call right now, but we are taking more calls. So call us at 1-800-229-3000. And we're going to talk to Deborah, who's calling us from Los Angeles and listens on KKLA. Deborah, we're glad you called. How can we help you?
Thank you. Thanks for the work that you do. I have a question regarding my 19-year-old son. Okay. He has been showing female behavior since he was very little, and to the point that he was teased in school and bullying, and we had to take him out of school when he was in middle school. Mm. Went back in high school, but it was the same thing. He was teased a lot. He always hang out with girls, and now he moved out about 3 months ago. He's never spoken to me about this, but I have a feeling in that he's living another life. Mm-hmm. And because he hasn't an Instagram account, and he doesn't allow even my daughter to look at that account. I did not know about that. And I do see that he dresses a little different, and he hides clothes from me when he was here in the house. And okay. I just don't want to have him live a double life. I want him to know that he's accepted whatever way he is. Mm.
I hear your heart, Deborah. What's your question for us?
Do I need to sit down with him and tell him that he can be open, that he doesn't have to hide anything from us, that we love him?
So tender. Alice or Jill, what would you offer to Deborah?
Well, I just love your heart, Deborah, and your love for your son. And you see that he's struggling and that he hasn't felt comfortable exposing his lifestyle. And I think that sitting down with him with the tenderness in which you're sharing with us would be a gift. Mm-hmm. I think letting him know that you want to know him, right? That God created mm-hmm. him, and you want to know who he is, even if it differs from what you would have mm-hmm. wanted, you know, for him. And I think that's mm-hmm. a loving thing. And he may not respond right away. And I think, but to put that out there and let him know your heart, I think would be the start, perhaps, of, of him being able to share.
Okay. Yeah, one day he asked me whether a mother would love their son, whether they're a thief or a homosexual. And I made it really clear that, yes, a mom would love their son, no matter what. Mm. But I just, I want to do what's best for him. I want him to enjoy life, no matter what it is that he wants to do. Because the thing is that he's been looking at, he's been talking about transgender. Mm. And I also want to be prepared to whatever it is that he thinks he needs to do. How can I prepare myself for what can come in the future?
Well, I think that, Deborah, yeah, educating yourself is a really good idea. Read everything you can. You might even want to get in with a therapist who specializes in these issues and just really seek that understanding and seek it from all angles, right?
Yeah, you know what I'm hearing, Deborah? I'm hearing that some of your apprehension is actually creating distance with you and your son, which is not what you're intending, but you're so afraid of what his experience may be that it's kind of contributing to that, like, that disconnect. And I think one of the greatest things you could do is just be open and curious with him. And know, and like you said, Jill, your heart is so tender towards him, Deborah. He's going to sense that.
Well, and sometimes we treat this like a taboo subject, right? And it's coming out into the open more and more. And I think we can't, as Christians, be afraid of it. I think we have to address it, just like if your son had a, you know, other issues going on, you would address it. And so sometimes it's just putting it out there on the table.
Right. And it doesn't even have to have a conclusion at that point.
Like, no, it's just to start the conversation.
Exactly. There's so many times that, and it doesn't matter what the issue may be in relationship, but we think about the other person. We wonder about the stuff they're worried about. And we see this a lot with so many just close family members, and we just can't have the conversation. And so if you go in with that open-minded and the heart for him, I think he's going to be able to draw closer to you.
Deborah. Okay. Deborah. I think part of the issue also is because at church, you know, they talk about this in sermons and stuff, and I guess, like, really in my heart that he's already condemned for something that he's had since he was a child.
Well, and but that's, see, here's
what I'm also conflicting with.
Right, but here's the thing, Deborah. This is all in your head. You don't know what he is thinking. You don't know what his experience is. So you need to hear from him and, you know, see what, you know, what he has to say
and
about
you
it.
You know what, Deborah? I might even take some time just for yourself and do some writing and write about all the things you remember about him growing up. What, you know, obviously this is from your experience. But really reflect, ask the Lord to help you, and think about who he was as a child. What were some of the memories that stand out, good or not, right?
Right.
And maybe write that out for yourself so you maybe have a sense of his whole life and can even see more clearly maybe the incidences. And think about him in terms of his emotions as a child. Was he depressed? Was he anxious? Was he secretive? What were the things that you wondered about with him as a child?
Deborah, we were talking about the beam principle, taking the beam out of our own eyes. And when it comes to healing a distance in relationship with our children, it is always beneficial to look at, what did I do as a mother that made my child so tentative to bring things to me? Was I avoidant? Was I angry? Was I critical? Was I so afraid and he sensed my anxiety? And how did his father treat him? There's a reason why he's been so silent and so secretive about this. So your confession will open that door up. Go ahead.
You brought a big point right now about his father, because we really knew where he was standing about homosexuality, and he was completely against it. And they had a very conflicted relationship. So he was closer to me than he was to his father. I think that my play a role in the fact that he didn't really want to talk about it, that our son wasn't as open as he might have wished to be.
When there are father wounds, a young man will look for ways to fill that wound, and that manifests in all different kinds of things. But it is not, it's not terribly uncommon for that to manifest in a same-sex attraction, because it's an attempt to be accepted and loved by another man, which he needed to receive from his father. So your insight there and your willingness to bring that to your son and hear the pain from him, which you probably have done before, do it again. And it will bring you closer to your son, very likely.
And so along the same lines of doing that writing for yourself, I think adding in your part and your responses, right? As well as maybe stuff with the dad. Kind of doing an inventory of your son and your family growing up. And it is true, Alice, that a lot of men who struggle with these issues have father wounds. Doesn't mean that everyone with a father wound has these same issues.
That's right.
Right? But certainly it's common.
And, you know, the bigger picture, if you go, you know, helicopter height, managing our adult relationships with our children is very important. And it requires all kinds of things. Doesn't matter if they, you know, are struggling with something that they're keeping from you or not. It's literally, how can I become an adult with you as you are an adult? And, you know, that fear that you have, Deborah, you know, we're just hoping for some peace as you connect with him. What book would you all recommend for her?
I think How We Love Our Children.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that would be really good. All right, you know, there's also a resource that Steve always talks about. It's called, and we don't have it here, but it's the Sissy Boy Syndrome.
Yes.
That might be some helpful information to Deborah.
Okay, there you go. There you go. We are so glad you called, and we're going to take a call from, let's see, it's J.H. Hi, J.H., I think. Nope, not ready yet. Maybe.
Those are my initials.
Jan. Jan is who we're trying to call. We're talking to Jan. Hi, Jan.
Not
we're so glad you called.
It might be Jill's biggest fan, though.
Maybe that's it. We love Jill. We're her biggest fan. Jan's calling from Dallas. How can we help you, Jan? Thanks for calling.
I was calling because I just had filed for a divorce under adultery. But I was having problems in my marriage, and we switched churches to a Church of Christ. And when I went to speak to the pastor, he said because it was our second marriage and my husband had committed adultery on the first wife, that God was not honoring our marriage and I needed to leave. That the marriage was not honored and I needed to divorce him. That went on a year. I still stayed in the marriage and kept going to the church, but they would pull me aside and say, are you still in the house with him? So a lot of that pressured, along with me thinking there is some infidelity going on in our family, divorced them. But for some reason, I'm having, like, pain, a lot of pain about it. And I'm like, why am I having all this pain? And we're still at the church.
You and your ex-husband are both still at the church?
They told us to stay at the church this way that we can be witnesses to other people who did not, who can honor God the same way by, in the Bible, it says that you're not supposed to have remarriage.
Do you have any relationship with your husband still, ex-husband?
Yeah, you know, we talk, but it's a weakness. So I think that's the pain. I don't want to be around him right now because there is a weakness where he wants me to still act like I'm a wife, but we're in different homes.
Okay, well, I want to get some clarification. So, Jan, your husband that you divorced because of what the church said did not have an affair. There was no cause for divorce. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not exactly what I'm saying. I do feel that he was cheating. He's still denying it. I do feel that.
In your marriage, he was cheating, correct?
Correct.
You believe. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes it different because what I was hearing was completely different than what you just said. So that's good. Alice or Jill, what would you like to offer?
Are you completely divorced, legally divorced?
Yes. As of 2 days ago, we're legally divorced.
And has your husband, although he denies any adultery, has he expressed desire to repent, to reconcile?
No, that's the part I think that why I cannot have closure. He has not did any of that. And as far as the reconcile, now he has switched it to as if I'm to blame.
And given that this divorce is so fresh, what have you been doing and what are you willing to do to take care of your heart with both the loss and the church's strong opinions about what you should do? I want you to think about that over the break, and we'll come back to give you more help and advice of what to do going forward.
Yeah, we are so glad you called, Jan, and we will come back to you. You know, one of the things that we're so grateful for is for all the support that we get, and one of the ways you can support us, if you shop on Amazon, you can go to smile.amazon and designate New Life Ministries as your charity of choice, and it gives to the ministry, and you're going to shop there, especially because it's Prime Day right now, so you might as well have a little bit of that come to make a difference in the lives of so many people. We'll be right back. We're still taking your calls. 1-800-229-3000.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking to Jan, and you know, we've got all kinds of thoughts about this, Jan, and we want to help you. And Alice, let's start with you.
We will get to advice soon, Jan. But we're concerned okay. about the nature of your question, as if you don't expect that you would be in pain mm-hmm. with this great loss and someone else dictating your behavior. What is it about your childhood, your life growing up, that you are not supposed to be in pain? Where is that message coming from?
I don't, you know, that's what I was trying to figure out. Like, why am I so hard on myself dealing with this divorce, and it's very fresh? I remember a friend once told me that I had a high tolerance for pain, and I didn't know where to go with that. And I thought, well, maybe this is it, because I stayed in a marriage and I saw the adultery, plain and simple.
Well, oh, go ahead, Alice.
It would be unnatural not to be in pain.
Right. Yes.
And what we can all do too quickly is try to push past our pain, but all we do is push it down. And most of us receive the message, don't cry, it's not that big of a deal, you got to be tough. Or perhaps we were ridiculed when we were in pain and we weren't cared for as children. And so that message might be deeply ingrained. You got to be okay, and you got to put a smile on your face. But the Bible tells us there's a time to lament. And this is that time for you. Your grief is honoring the marriage. It's honoring the loss of this husband and the loss of the trust that he potentially betrayed you. I want to give you permission to enter into your grief. That's the way we start the healing process.
And well, just like in a grieving process, disbelief or, you know, denial is part of that. That shock that comes in that this even happened. And I think that's what we're hearing from you, Jan. But Jill, what do you have to say?
Well, I was just going to add, I don't know that this is the time for you to be set up as an example. I mean, you are really hurting.
I think that's the problem right there.
Yeah. Yeah, you are really...
They want me to act normal, and he's the same way. He's like, oh, well, let's just be friends, you know, we're at the church.
This is not a high school dating relationship. This was a marriage, right? And this was a second marriage.
Yes.
And so it's compounded by grief from, you know, previous losses.
Our warning bells are going off. Mm-hmm. Although your church probably has great intentions, they have a strong voice in your life. And I think you feel required and compelled to obey them. But you have great intelligence on your own. And you get to take each of your individual situations and decide how to apply the biblical principles and the faith that we share with, of course, with the advice of the church. But the church is not meant, is not given the even the authority to dictate our lives. The church is meant to be a guide, not a dictator.
I think it's really difficult, too, Jan, when you're in this position where they want you to be an example, which is kind of odd on so many levels, but also that you're going against what your heart is telling you. It's hard for you to see your ex-husband. It's hard for you to interact with him, and yet in this place of worship, that is what you're running into. And, you know, self-care is so important for a wounded heart. I think that's where you need to focus your direction. I mean, I might be so bold as to say you might need to find a different church which could be difficult.
Well, even one of the members told me that. They said, you might need to find one of the ladies that was shot. She said, I think that you should probably go to a different church.
I think she might be right.
I think that's a good idea. I think you need some space right now mm-hmm. and a place where you feel safe right. and can do some healing. And I think getting involved in divorce recovery, a grief
divorce
group,
care. Mm-hmm.
divorce care, mm-hmm. I think that would be important for you to be around other people who are going through this process, as well as drawing some close friends around you and just let yourself feel what you're feeling. And right. as Alice was saying, and really grieve this right. loss.
I think we should send Jan Healing as a Choice. I think it would be a really mm-hmm. great process for you to get into the workbook, and you know, it's all part of the whole. Speaking of a process, Larry Sonnenberg is in the room. Hi, Larry.
Hi,
how are you?
Doing really well, thank you. Glad to be here today. A couple of things I want to talk about. One is Restore Workshop coming up Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Friday. It's just,
yes.
it's live and in person. It's not the Zoom stuff anymore. So, actually, Alice, I'd like you to read a testimony. I think a female voice might make more sense than mine.
Before coming to the workshop, I felt like I was on a roller coaster, one day up, one day down. I had no confidence in standing for what I think should be. Everything was a secret, and I was incredibly burdened, carrying my husband's issues, covering for and protecting him. It was exhausting, depressing, and debilitating. This weekend has been miraculous, truly. It has given me tools, hope, and connection. It's been a game changer, and I'm returning home stronger and determined. I'm leaving the workshop with a network of sisters and the confidence that I deserve to work on me. If you're struggling with your husband's sexual infidelity, do not hesitate to come to this workshop. Jump in. Though it's been scary, it is the most amazing experience of my life.
If that doesn't make the phone rings today, I'm going to be really disappointed, ladies.
Yeah, that's
so
a good one.
You need to come to this workshop. We know you're out there because we have guys coming to Every Man's Battle every month. And only a fraction of the women are coming to Restore. So don't, you know, put your fears and anxieties aside and give us a call and come to this workshop. It will make all the difference. Shelly Martinkus is the wife of the man who does our Every Man's Battle workshop. They've been through hell and back in their marriage because of his addictions. And it will make a difference in your lives. So I hope you'll consider that. Call us at 800-NEW-LIFE.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life Member Thank You Gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life Grocery Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits, like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We didn't kick Larry out of the room. He's got more to say.
Yeah, you should have, but you didn't.
We tried to, but he wouldn't.
That's right. I wouldn't leave.
He's the boss.
No, I wanted to just ask people to continue to support New Life. You heard that testimony right before the break, and that's what happens when people's lives intersect with New Life. I mean, I feel like a broken record because I say this every day, but it's so true, and I want to get through to you guys, and I want to appeal to you. There's different ways to give. You can just make a gift. Go online, make a gift, call us at 800-NEW-LIFE, put a check in the mail, however, and that'd be appreciated. And when you do that, we're going to send you The Soul of a Hero. That's Steve Arterburn and Dave Stoop wrote this book together. And I want to real quickly read the heroic secrets that are listed in this book for you to consider. And this book is aimed at men, but it's good for women to give to their men for a gift as well. Number one, begin as a child. Number two, you are who God says you are. Number three, men need mentors. Number four, you're going to need brothers. Number five, find your earthly purpose. Number six, love and respect your heart. Number seven, win the war within. And number eight, or just the final thoughts on the soul of a hero. Any of those chapters we could preach on here, but we got calls to take. So,
but I want to give a plug for this as well, for becoming a giver, because I am a stingy miser at heart.
But I'm ready to talk to you about that.
We have an appointment later today. But I started to receive from New Life myself as a listener. My life started to change, and I began to believe God's promises that He blesses us when we give and when we give generously. And as I've started to practice that, I receive even more blessings and benefits and feel better about myself because of it. If you've been like me, miserly stingy, try giving today. It'll change a lot in your life.
Thank you, Becky, for the extra time.
Well, thanks, Larry. And now we're going to talk to Kate, who's calling us from Washington, D.C., and watches us on YouTube. You can watch us there every day, or even if you want to repeat, you can go and watch all of our old shows there as well. Kate, how can we help you today? I'm glad you called.
Yes, thank you, ladies, for taking my call. My question is, I would like to know how I can kind of restore intimacy with my husband. He's a non-believer and I'm a believer, and I've renewed my faith over the last 3 years, and since then it seems that it's pushed him more away, and I'm wondering what you thought I should do.
Great
Kate,
question.
When you started relationship with your husband, were you active in your faith at that time?
I considered myself a Christian, but I was a so-so wishy-washy Christian, so I engaged in things that you wouldn't typically do as a follower of Jesus. Were you having sex outside of marriage and, you know, that kind of thing? So, right.
Kate, me too.
Yeah,
you and I have turned the tables on our husbands because we started life one way, a worldly way. I did too. Mm. And then we renewed our faith. And it helps so much to realize I am not acting like the woman my husband fell in love with, but I'm expecting him to become like me now.
Mm-hmm.
And when we can acknowledge that to our spouses and acknowledge that this is difficult, it's a shocker, it's a turnaround, it lowers their defensiveness because we have changed the rules of the game.
Vulnerability is that key.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wonder, Kate, how when you guys have these interactions, is there a lot of defensiveness on your part as well as his? Like, how do you have these conversations?
There's definitely on both sides. So it's not just him, but both sides. It's mostly he doesn't think I'm fun anymore, that I'm super uptight, that I am super sensitive, that I don't think like normal people do, and so I think a lot of this, we have like a lot of bitterness in between us.
Mm-hmm. And is there any truth to
and
that?
And he wants everything to be spontaneous. I think sometimes there is in that I don't agree with the lifestyle that he wants to live, where he wants to go out and stay out all night with his friends and those kind of things, and I'm not really into that anymore.
So it's a new marriage. So. It's like you guys have to reorder the marriage. But it's interesting because if you only have arguments about this, you won't be able to move forward. And that could happen even if you weren't a believer. A lot of couples go through changes in how we're doing life, and then the contention is what gets focused on, as opposed to, okay, we got a different way of doing things. Well, how are we going to get on the same page? Alice, what are you thinking?
Well, the best ingredients for making faith attractive to him is to back off the requests of wanting him to participate. Certainly back off any nagging, if that's been a part of it, which it was for me. become apologetic for the changes that you are making, and then model. And think about the principles of submission. Think about the principle of speaking the truth with grace. And when we apply those regularly, it softens the environment. And it brings grace into the environment. I keep saying that, but that's what these things do. When we follow God's way, it brings in grace. It's not your job to change your husband's mind. You don't even have the power to be able to do that. You have to leave room for the Holy Spirit to bring about that conviction. And when we wives are talking too much, trying to change our husband's stance on things, it drowns out the Holy Spirit's voice. So get humble.
Right.
Pray for him a whole heck of a lot and model the beauty of what Christianity really is, that servanthood modeling of what Jesus was like.
Right. I think, Kate, you need to be that living witness to him. You need to speak less and model more, as Alice is saying, because she's right. Yeah, you did switch the rules and you know, and I'm wondering, is your faith the only thing that has switched things up? Like, have children come into the picture?
Yes.
Okay.
So we have children. I'm a sandwich generation as well, so all that. But our kids are also, we came into marriage with two kids and then had a child. So,
right.
Yeah.
So
we have adult children and then we have a minor child.
Oh, okay. Okay, so a lot of variables in this picture. So it's not just your faith that has become the issue, right? I mean, certainly when we women have children, we tend to grow up, right? And take life a little more seriously.
I was just thinking that, Jill, because Kate, you said that he says, you're no fun anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, who's taking care of the child and who's doing, you know, it's like you're probably balancing a lot of things. And, you know, it's a dilemma because I love what you just said, Jill. Don't make it all about your faith.
Right.
Because it could be the relationship needs some help. And not that.
Well,
faith
and there's
central.
No guarantee when we get married, and not hopefully none of us stay exactly the same as the day we married. We want to grow and mature,
We
want the relationship to help us along in that direction. And I heard you say that your husband likes to be spontaneous. So it sounds like in your dynamics that maybe you've leaned more towards being maybe a little more practical or responsible, where he likes to be fun and spontaneous. And you used to go along with that, but somebody has to be the adult in the room. And so there are issues there that really aren't about your faith, that are about how you guys have evolved as a couple.
So, you know, we're going to be in D.C. with our Intimacy and Marriage Workshop in July. Kate, it would be so great for you to join us. I'm sure you've already told him, and he's not going to go to
a
big room.
Right, because it's Christians. But it's not like going to
church.
But
tell him we're not scary, and it's not like a church, and it's going
to... Tell him you can ignore that part.
You might actually have him listen to this call, because I think he'll be surprised by how hard we're going on you.
Right.
And that might actually be inviting to him.
That's right. Well, and we'll send you a copy of How We Love, Kate. You know, I think marriage is such a dynamic that is very complex, that each relationship is so unique, and we all have our own work to do. And so I know, Kate, that your heart's in the right place, and we hope to see you there in July in D.C. And if you're married and you're listening to this, come and join us. You can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll get you signed up. We're going to talk to Marie, who's calling us from Pensacola, Florida. And Marie, the music is starting, but I wanted to get started on your question. If you want to give us the question, we'll talk about it during the break.
Sure. I'm just calling because my husband has disclosed he had some childhood molestation at the hands of his older brother, and we've been married for 10 years, and he's never talked about it. So I just need to know how I can really love him because I have never been abused, so I don't know how to help him through this and to show him lots of love and grace when I feel a little bit frustrated that I didn't know and that he says it's not bothering him and it's not really worrying him. So I need help for me to not feel so traumatized by all this information. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a great question. I'm glad he shared it with you. And again, we were just talking about relationships and those really... tender parts of us, when we can share them with each other, can be so powerful. We'll be right back.
find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back, and we are talking to Marie, and we can talk to you too if you call us at 1-800-229-3000. We're going to be taking calls for the next hour, and we would love to help you in any way possible. So Marie, you told us that your husband just revealed that he had had some childhood molestation, and you guys have been married about 10 years, and it's kind of a shock to you, first of all, that he hadn't told you up to this point. And then your second question was, how can I help him? How can I, you know, work through this with him? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Marie, do you know why he told you when he did?
His brother was a former eighth grade science teacher who sent a nude picture of himself to a student, and he's undergoing a trial. And I was asking my husband if his older brother ever affected his younger brother, and he said no, didn't let him because he did it to me. And so he didn't, like, necessarily tell me. I found out because I was saying, I think your brother sounds more like a predator. It doesn't sound like this just happened on accident. It sounds like he has a sexual addiction. And that's when my husband kind of let me pull it out of him, like, well, yeah, this happened. And so then we started seeing a counselor. And so now my husband's kind of saying, like, our counselor doesn't even think we need to talk about it, which isn't exactly true. It's just not been the major issue because our marriage has been so rocky because of this that it's kind of been put on hold because I haven't handled it well. I haven't handled being married and having four kids and feeling like I don't know my husband that well. And of course he's saying, of course you know me. You know, we'll be fine. We'll get through this. So I feel frustrated with him. And then he's, you know, feeling upset that he told me and that, you know, I'm acting unloving towards him or unkind or that I haven't forgiven him. But I don't really know how to forgive him for not telling me.
So are you
supposed to love him?
Marie, are you saying the marriage has been rocky since he revealed this information, or it's been difficult all along? Like, marriage has just been hard for you?
It's been hard. It's been hard. About 5 years into our marriage, he said, you know, I have this secret porn addiction, and of course didn't know any of that. Mm-hmm. And so he told that to me, and so he's been working on that. And it's been, some questions have been answered by, you know, this information about his behavior and just kind of his temperament. And, you know, of course I'm really outgoing. He's really shy. You know, we're very opposite in a lot of ways. So this has kind of just brought us to a different place in our marriage.
Well, and it makes sense if you've already had some struggles with him and he had the porn addiction. I mean, back then would have been a perfect time for him to tell you. And so I can see where that would be really upsetting because it's like it's another secret, right, that you're having to contend with. So I think your upset is very valid. And And there's sometimes, too, we can experience kind of a vicarious trauma, right? When we hear trauma that happens to people that we really love and care about, sometimes our brain, as women, we don't know the difference. And we experience some of that trauma. And this is a brother, right? And you have this case that's happening in your family.
And you have children.
And you have children.
It's all of those things. So, Marie, have you guys had any help with any of this? Counselor?
They're in counseling.
Oh, okay.
You said you're in counseling.
Yeah, we're seeing a counselor. Yep.
Well,
we see a counselor. And
that's good that you're seeing it together because I think it's really important not to minimize this.
Right.
And to give some credence to your reaction to all of this and to have it be a time where your husband can really hear you as well as you understanding and him needing, I mean, it sounds like this got really shut down in him.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the healing process needs to be in play for him as well, for both of you. Alice?
Marie, is your husband overall a decent man?
He is a very good man.
He's also an avoidant man, and he's a man who has been wallowing in shame. And it's probably his shame that has kept him so secretive.
Right.
Because
right.
what would my wife think of me if she knew? And because, of course, you're having a strong reaction to it, he's probably feeling even more shame right now. When he is feeling shame, he probably gets defensive. And you have your side of this equation. And so I want you to think about what your style is. As he's avoidant, you might also be avoidant, a pleaser. You may explode with anger and upset and fear. Mm-hmm. You have your own side of the reaction. Do you know what it is? Can you label it?
I'm very angry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And my kids can see that. And they're very worried about us. And they're worried about why mom and dad fight all the time. And it's just sometimes, I had a baby 2 years ago, so she'll be 2 in July. And I'm 38, so I went and did a whole panel for hormones because I think I'm at the tail end of postpartum and maybe premenopausal. So my husband is kind of thinking that I'm just the problem and that this isn't even a problem and that it's not a big deal and that we can move on with our lives, and he wants to help me and, you know, get medication or whatever. And it's like, I just feel like this was stressed on me and I don't know what to do with it.
So I want to give you two directions to go with this. One, you have every right to feel angry, and your husband needs to become equipped to be a listener to you in your anger. And so I want you to bring that to the therapist. Don't try to do it on your own, because you need guidance and he needs help to be able to hear your anger and not drown in his shame. Because there's, of course, a healthy and grace-filled way of expressing anger. And then there's a sinful way that we express anger.
Yeah.
And the other piece to this is, you tearfully said, he's a very good man. And I bet he hasn't heard that from you in a little while. Even if you have said it, he probably struggles to hear it anymore because he's feeling like such a bad husband right now and probably a bad father. And so as you can, only genuinely, when you can increase that, reminding him, I do know you're a good man, but I'm struggling and this is triggering the old betrayal. And so I've got a lot that I have to process here, but he needs that reminder from you. You are a good man.
You know, Marie, you've heard me say this before, and intimacy and marriage would be a great place for you guys to come and spend the weekend with us. And I know so many times it sounds like we give the same answer, but we know how to help couples connect, and that's what we do there. And the other piece that you said, Alice, which I think so many people struggle with, is shame. When bad things happen to us or when we make poor choices, we can get shrouded in shame, and it keeps us from connecting, doing our own work, and you know, it's part of being human. And so we just, you know, we'll pray for you guys, Marie, but we also hope to see you in July. Let's send her How We Love, and that could give you some good insight. We're so grateful for all you who are joining us. We are still taking calls, so you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. We really want for people to find transformation in their life. We know that it's possible. And I always think about the people that we hear from who struggle with ongoing issues and think that this is just the way it is. And we want to tell you differently. We want you to know that there is a way to find healing and hope for your marriage, for your family, for your life, and that God has a plan for you. And I think about that passage in the Psalms where David says, "Search me, God, and see if there's any way in me that is wicked or wrong or not the way that you would have, and lead me to the way of everlasting." That's what God wants for each of you. That's what we do here at New Life, and we're grateful to be able to do it. Call us if you need help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or call us to be on the show today, 1-800-229-3000. Alice and Jill will stay with me for one more hour, and we'll continue to help. God bless you all. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.